You are listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels, and it is Sunday, June 24th. My, how time flies. All right, today's topic is, why be healthy? There's a question. And I've often, actually, many of my patients when I was practicing medicine in the 90s would ask me that question, why be healthy? And of course, what they really meant was, why do the things required to be healthy? Now, if you went to medical school, which I did, I can share this with you, the reason to be healthy, the medical school reason, is so that all of your numbers on all the tests can be, well, perfect or normal. That's the medical reason to be healthy. I would like to suggest that there is another reason to be healthy, and that is actually not a reason to engage in so-called healthy behavior. Because having all of your numbers normal on a test does not mean that you're physically comfortable, that you can participate in life and enjoy life. So that definition falls massively short of anything that might deliver human satisfaction. So the other thing then is, well, what's another reason to be healthy? And I would like to suggest that each person has their own reason, or reasons plural, to be healthy. And I think that's what really, what we need to reach for. And so today what I'm going to talk about is things I have reached for to as a symptom or evidence of health, or more to the point, once I've achieved so-called health, in other words, a pain-free body, pretty good disposition, then what else is there? What next is there, the evidence of health? You know, is it a particular weight as compared to your height? Is it, you know, some quantitative parameter? And I'd like to suggest that actually it's not. So if your feeling of health or definition of health can be measured in numbers, then I would suggest you need to put that definition aside and move further and get another definition. Now, what really prompted today's talk was someone sent me a link. And so I went to another online health experts website. And this person shared what they did in a day to stay healthy. And their health regimen literally took 9 hours and did not allow them any time for family, any time for, I guess, non-health maintenance activities. And that startled me, and I said, wait a minute. I don't want that for my life. And what can I say to other people to help them have a better quality of life and enjoy their life? And so the other title for today's talk, of course, was Why Do Splits? And or a split at any age. So the reason then to be healthy, and the way to know that you are healthy, is so that you can enjoy what you value as a quality life. And maybe there's some things that you like to do. Maybe you like to play with the grandkids, in which case you might want to be specific or precise about that. Maybe there's certain things you want to be able to do with the grandkids, like pick them up when they're under the age of 5. Maybe you would like to be able to show up for a family barbecue. And maybe you'd like to engage in conversation and remember the last sentence that you said. So these are the types of measures people would do well to use as an indicator of health. Another thing that prompted me to talk about this today is throughout much of my life, my health has been not perfect when measured via medical parameters. But at the same time, I've really enjoyed, you know, things have gone pretty well. So, for example, when I was a child, when I was 10 years old, well, maybe 11 years old, I was 5 feet 6 inches tall, and I weighed 99 pounds. Well, that definitely does not fit any type of health measure or parameters, but I felt perfectly fine, and I had no problem running up the rather steep hill to go to school every day. And, you know, I was a very busy person. I had my little goals and objectives and things I wanted to do, and I was just busy doing those things. Until one day my father pulled me aside and said, you need to gain some weight. I said, well, Dad, how much weight? And so, of course, I did not know anything was wrong. So eventually I did gain some weight. Then when I went to medical school, they used the medical students as a reservoir for blood samples. So in other words, when you show up for your clinical in the morning and say, okay, we're going to draw some blood from you because we need a standard to compare whatever to. And so for not only the 4 years of medical school, but the 15 years after that, I always had a low white count, an elevated bilirubin, and elevated liver enzymes, always. However, I was able to complete my educational program. I was able to have 3 children. I was able to start a medical practice and really do quite a few things. And so had I taken a detour from my life to investigate these abnormal values and follow each one down with tests and biopsies and whatever else, then my life might have been absolutely destroyed. So I think it's important to have non-quantitative measures of health. And for each person, these are going to be very, very individual. And this was really became a concrete concept to me when I decided at the age of 61 that I want to do a split. I said, well, you know what? I've always wanted to do a split since I was 10 years old. I'm 61 years old. And by golly, it's time for me to get around to doing it. And I just thought that it was something that I would work on. I thought that it would take me maybe 2 or 3 years to do. And eventually I would get there. And that's really all I thought. However, what had happened, which I had not noticed, was when I came to Panama in 08, I realized I was a little unsteady on my feet. I was 51 years old then. I was a little unsteady on my feet. I had to be very careful where I walked. I had to hold on to handrails. And I said, well, you know, I'm 51, so what do you expect? So I didn't think anything of it. And I also noticed I couldn't run anymore. I could walk, but I could not run. And if I was in a hurry, well, it was just too bad because I could not speed up. And I attributed this to just getting older. And I thought that children could run and play because they were young. They could do all these amazing things, maybe because they were stronger, which actually doesn't make any sense because you know that a 4-year-old is just nowhere near as strong as, say, a 20-year-old or even a 40-year-old. So I did not understand what was the secret to this agility and this mobility that younger people had. But, oh, another thing happened. So over that period from 08 to 18, I also worked more online. I was sitting 10, 12 hours a day and working. And what had happened during that period also was my leg muscles became weak. And literally, it was challenging for me to actually stand up on my feet. Getting out of a chair was challenging. My legs couldn't hold my weight, so I had to use my hands. So, but now I can get out of the chair without holding on. And I can go up and down some pretty uneven steps and even a mountain without looking for any rails. And I don't wonder what happened to the yellow caution stripes that show the edge of the steps. Also in those 10 years, I gained 50 pounds. Now, to be fair, I was quite a bit underweight when I started out. So I was 22 pounds underweight. So while I was married to my husband, I gained 50 pounds, which meant I got overweight. And again, I didn't think anything of that. I thought, well, you know, I'm getting old and these things happen. So, however, once I started working on my splits, everything reversed. The weight peeled off. I was able to have better balance. I was able to run again. And so all of these things changed. And then I realized that what was really happening was I had not been challenging my body. I had not been using my full range of motion, especially my legs and even my arms. And so that ability actually shrank and contracted to match my restricted activities. So what was happening as I sat in the chair was every muscle, every tendon not necessary to sitting in a chair was decommissioned. My body literally said, okay, turn that switch off, turn that off, turn that off, turn that off. And it actually reached a point where even getting in a car was challenging. And of course, I didn't think anything of that. Oh, we just have to get a car with a different elevation height. That's not a problem. But again, once I started working on the splits, I reestablished that flexibility. All of a sudden, balance wasn't a problem. All of a sudden, I was very agile. All of a sudden, I could run and I could move my legs quickly to rebalance my weight. And also, my legs became stronger. And so, another concept that became clear to me was the concept of anti-fragility. And this is actually a book I'm reading called Anti-Fragile. I would strongly recommend it. But it's the concept that many things in life, especially living things, that would be your body, become stronger with daily or continual small challenges. And so that would mean that you have to challenge yourself every single day. And what I recommend is if there is some activity you value tremendously, let's say you want to be able to pick up your, a 20-pound grandkid, let's just say, then every day you want to pick up a 20-pound weight. See if you can pick it up. And if you cannot pick it up, that means you need to make some adjustments either in your conditioning or your training or your diet so that you can pick up that 20-pound weight. And the same thing with range of motion. What range of motion do you want to have in each one of your joints? Whatever that range of motion is, you should practice it every day. It doesn't take a whole lot. For example, one thing that happened to me when I was went to medical school, I was 22 years old. And I realized that I could not reach my back to wash my back. And I said, man, I've got to be able to wash my whole back because that's what I want to do. And I would feel comfortable with that. And I lived alone, so I couldn't delegate that to someone else. So what I did was I literally just every day would reach back there, do the best I could. And now it's got to where I can actually, let me see, turn this around for you. I can actually reach my whole back and hold hands behind my back. And so that means that I can wash my whole back. Now, that may seem like a pretty trivial thing, but these things are different for each person. So there might be something I want to do that is totally irrelevant to you, and there might be something you want to do that might not be valuable to me. But it makes sense to make a list every day of those things. So one step in being healthy is you need to have your definition of health. Make a list of those things that you want to do. And really, you need to put some things in that list that might seem trivial, like tie your shoes, for example. And really, reach down there every day, because if you don't, then over time what's going to happen is you're actually not even going to be able to reach your feet or your shoes to tie them. Because again, your body will say, well, she hasn't reached down there in a few months. I don't really think she needs to. And your body will actually decommission the muscles, the tendons, and the flexibility needed for you to reach down and tie your shoes. So you need to have some definition of functional level that you want to achieve. Now, the next concept, which I observed, actually from people I've met down here who are like really into conditioning themselves and being an optimal condition for the life they want to live, is the idea of every day doing something that makes you uncomfortable. Not pain, but uncomfortable. And so for me, practicing to do the splits, doing the stretches, were uncomfortable. Not painful, but uncomfortable. And so if you do something every day that makes you uncomfortable, and it can be physically uncomfortable, or it can be maybe just emotionally uncomfortable, it increases your body's ability to function. Your body actually grows as a result of that. One example of this is Wim Hof, which would be the deep breathing followed by breath holding, doing a couple of sit-ups, and then getting in some pretty cold water. That is something that, for me, for years, has been uncomfortable. There was cold water at all, totally uncomfortable, and I actually spent quite a bit of resources and attention keeping myself very warm and staying in temperature-controlled environments. But that actually was not good for me, or not optimal. So now I do spend most of my time in pretty comfortable situation. Just living in the tropics kind of lets you out of the cold stuff of way up north. But getting into the cold water every day has actually raised my level of alertness and raised my body's level of just physical functioning and increased my body's ability to control its temperature. So it's really important to do something every day that makes you uncomfortable, even if you just do it for 10 seconds. And that also increases your ability to tell your body, do this, do that. Because once you do these things that make you uncomfortable, slightly uncomfortable, you'll do them, your body will say, oh, that wasn't so bad, or I survived that, I lived through that. And then your body will be more willing to follow any command that you give it. So that is very important. Now, every little minor discomfort makes your immune system stronger. I am personally not in favor at all of getting chickenpox to be immune to chickenpox. That's actually nonsense, because your body does not have immunity. There is no such thing. What your body does is it has an immune system, and that immune system handles challenges as they come up. When that immune system gets weak, you're not going to be able to handle challenges, even if you have seen them before. So in other words, people can and do get chickenpox more than once in their lifetime. So the idea that once you get an infection, that your body can then handle it is simply not true. It's a false construct. What's really going on here is you want your immune system to be strengthened generally in all ways. And subjecting your immune system to things like intermittent coldness, subjecting your immune system to things like intermittent heavy exertion, those are the things that are going to strengthen your immune system. And, of course, eating a diet with a wide range of nutrition. So the idea that infecting yourself or getting an infection or getting a cold or whatever illness you might think of is a good thing, it just isn't. I think all of us would be very happy just to be healthy every day. So my background with health, of course, I went to medical school, which was, I won't say unfortunate, it was very fortunate just to have something to refer to or understand not to do. But also, as I was understanding what my patients really needed and what was really going to make them healthy, the first step was understanding what made them sick and removing that from their lives. And so a lot of times it came down to diet. And so that's where, say, a vegetarian or a vegan diet comes in. And so that's cleansing, and that's a subtraction situation where you're taking away, taking away, taking away, and you're taking away toxins as well as nutrition. But again, in a culture where most people were overnourished excessively fed, that was actually a pretty winning strategy. Now, when you take the cleansing diet, and on top of that, you put, say, enemas and liver flushes and juice fasts and water fasts, now you're into a bigger subtraction game. But what all of this misses, and what I experienced when I did this, was I was pain-free, I had normal weight, beautiful skin, but my level of functioning declined. It was less. So there's absence of disease, which is no arthritis or hypertension or diabetes, none of these diseases, none, no pain, none, but I couldn't run, I couldn't jump, I couldn't climb, tired all the time. So absence of disease certainly is to be praised. Absence of disease is better than disease. But in addition to absence of disease, you want to go a little further and you want to say, okay, I want health. I want the ability to, these ladies will come into my office and say, oh, Dr. Daniels, I want to be able to, I have 7 kids. I want to be able to cook for my family, do their laundry, clean the house. Oh, cook from scratch, of course. And be a good wife and a good neighbor and do this and that at church. They had a list. I was like, wow, you want to do all that? Oh, yes, doctor. Yes, I've got to do these things. And so I would help them improve their health to do those things. We were taught in medical school, by the way, that the desire to function in a useful capacity is unreasonable. It's unreasonable for a person, a patient, to come to a doctor and say, I want to get strong enough to go back to work. No. Maybe the doctor can help you get your disability benefits or something like that, but to say, I want to achieve this level of functioning, we were taught to totally dismiss that. And so I realized back then that that was ridiculous. Why would someone come see a doctor unless they had something in their life they needed to do but couldn't do? So now I absolutely totally understand that. So it's important to reach those levels of functioning. And so what I've found is giving my body small challenges has for me recovered levels of functioning that I didn't even have when I was 30. And so that is, for me, it's an amazing, amazing discovery. And how did I do that? Well, the small challenges every day, the stretching, the walking up and down the mountain. Now, I have to tell you, I start off by walking down the mountain. And even in walking down the mountain, I could only go 12 steps. And so after 12 steps, that was it. I had to stop for a rest. Then I went another 8 steps, then stop for a rest. And eventually, I made it down the mountain. And now I can run down the mountain. I can skip down the mountain without any stops. I can even run down the mountain, do a 360-degree turn while I'm running and continue running down the mountain. That's something that would just unimaginable. But again, it's just from giving my body little challenges every day, very little challenges. And so, of course, I'm still working on going up the mountain. I can go up the mountain very easily now, but I do have to stop once or twice along the way, which is still far better than before. So before, I used to have to stop about 8 times, and I mean really stop, like, and take a few breaths for a few minutes. So I would urge people to do that. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is this sitting thing. I mean, I'm sitting right now to do the radio show. However, sitting is something to definitely be avoided. When you sit, it shortens the muscles from your quadriceps to your thigh. Actually, it shortens the whole quadriceps muscle. And this means then that you can't bend your knee and sit on your heels. This means that when you stand up, you can't stretch or lean backwards. And this greatly limits your flexibility. Now, and so you want to avoid sitting. Now, some people say, oh, you know, you should get a standing workstation. I did try that. It was no help at all. You can have a standing workstation, but it's not going to increase your mobility. So now what you've got is you're standing, but your legs are standing together. So you still are not increasing this range of motion that you need to walk. So yes, you're standing, but it's still an unnatural position. So you're not engaged in movement and in activity. Now, one thing that was a real problem was the fear of falling. And now I don't have that anymore because I have the flexibility and the strength where I can move my leg to rebalance my weight, so I don't have that fear of falling. And even when I did fall, when I fell off the mountain in the Philippines, yes, I did hit the ground and a little bit of a bounce there, but no broken bones. So again, giving your body little challenges every day is a big help. Now, the lack of broken bones, though, that's a little more complicated. So to achieve that, I had to eat more connective tissue. A lot of people believe the bones are a bunch of minerals, like calcium and trace minerals. That's part of the bones and probably not even the most important part. The connective tissue, which is the rubbery elastic component, makes it so the bone can accept a shock, bend slightly, bounce back into shape, and not break. And so because I had started eating connective tissue for several months before I fell off the mountain, thank God, when I fell, I didn't break any bones. And I have a lot of, you know, clients that I work with who have fallen, who have broken bones. And they're pretty young. When I say young, I mean like under 65. So the big component of not breaking bones is adding elasticity and flexibility to those bones. And so on the way to improving my ability to function, I started eating more connective tissue. And this has made a very big difference. So now I don't have a fear of falling, and I don't have a fear of breaking bones. I mean, if I fall, I know, first of all, whatever it caused, it was pretty big, like I need a push or something. And that if I fall, nothing's going to break. And that's something that actually should be the case really throughout your life, because it's just a simple matter of exercise, flexibility, and some connective tissue. We have commercial. I'll come back after commercial. No, please don't go.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, Independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Doctor, this is love I'm feeling. Fever, breathe your love on me. Take away my name. Fever, lay your hands on me. Never be the same.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so what we're talking about then is how to figure out what health is and how to make sure you maintain it. And so health really is functionality. It's the ability to function as a human being. So you need to define what functionality you want to have in your life. For example, Scott Nearing, famous naturalist, his definition of health was if he could pick up a piece of wood that he cut the season before, bring it into the house, and put it on the fireplace. As long as he could do that, everything was good. And the day he could not do that, it was time to die. And so that day came. Of course, he was 90-something years old, 96 years old, close to 100 years old. And he said, that's it. I can no longer put a piece of wood on the fire, and I'm done. And he just stopped eating and starved to death and died. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing to do at the age of 90-something. I mean, you got to say, guy did pretty well. But each person needs to make their list of things that they want to be able to do. And once you make that list, then you're on your way to getting better and to healing. Now, what many people do is they don't have that list. And so the doctor will confront them with maybe, your nose is stuffy, you need sinus surgery. You've got acne, let's use some laser on that. It's like, whoa, stop, time out. What do I want to do with my life, and can it be done with a stuffy nose and some acne? Yes? Okay, we're good to go. And just go on about your life. It was like when I was in my 20s, and I was told that I had an elevated bilirubin, elevated liver enzymes, and a low white count. I said, great, thanks for the information. Okay, goodbye. I'm going back to work. And that was my feeling about it. And they said, well, aren't you worried? I said, well, what are we going to do about it? They said, well, we can do more lab tests. I said, no, I don't want any more needles. What else? Well, we could do a biopsy. No, that's a needle cutting. No, I'm doing pretty good here. And what I realized was after I got cut, called a biopsy, then I would be sick for a while, recovery, and I wouldn't be able to do the activities that I valued, which, of course, all of them I was able to do at that time. So when if you have your list of functionality, then that puts you in a very strong position where you have your own yardstick, you have your own measure, which is absolutely critical. Now, for me, of course, I'm working on splits. Then, I got my grandkids to visit. Then I have jokes to write, a stand-up comedy routine, and, of course, doing this radio show every week. So these are things I like to do. And also, I even clean my own house. Mm. Yes. It takes a bit of agility. So when you do these things every day, then you can notice a decline, however slight, very quickly. And you can say, slight decline here. Let me fix it. For example, yesterday I was doing my stretches for my split, and I could not get all the way down into my split. I said, problem. And so immediately I ate a high gelatin dish. Many of you are familiar with bone broth. That's the bone broth part. I said, no, this problem is bigger than broth. So I ate the gelatin, the solid gelatin, on the bones that most people would have thrown away. And so immediately I took steps to restore my flexibility. So if you have something that you just do every day just to check, okay, let me check, or even twice a week, but you've got to check, then you can check when there's small declines and quickly reverse them by eating the proper food or having an extra few bowel movements with Vitality Capsules that you can get at vitalitycapsules.com. So these are things that you can address quickly and easily as long as you're doing that that I call it check. So you just check and make sure. It's like in my book, Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful? I recommend people do a face check every week. So you look, oh my God, is there another age spot? A wrinkle, let's take care of it. And that way, you don't wake up one day with a face that's filled with wrinkles and sagging. Personally, in my journey, of course, I was concerned with wrinkles. I guess I got my first one when I was 40. And I said, oh my God, it's a wrinkle. And I aggressively went to work getting rid of wrinkles. And so I should check my face every week, but honestly, I only check it like maybe once a month. So occasionally, though, when I check it, I said, some wrinkles, let's get rid of them. And then I have to start using the rice bran on my face to polish it, get rid of the wrinkles, or I'll have to change my diet. Maybe I'll notice an age spot or something. So you want to ideally check once or twice a week, whatever your check is, whether it's a flexibility check, whether it's a pick up the grandkids check, whether it's a lift a little piece of wood for the fireplace check, whatever that check is, you need to check that functionality. Maybe it's a squat. Can you still squat and get up without assistance? You need to do that check. And if that check does not work out to your satisfaction, then you've got to reflect, what do I need to do? What is the problem here? Do I need to hydrate myself more, drink more water? Do I need to do more stretches, you know, small little challenges? Do I need to add something to my diet? Do I need to take something away from my diet? Do I need to cleanse or have more bowel movements? And honestly, that's pretty much it. That's as far as it goes in terms of fixing any functionality defect that you have. So you've got to have your list of what health is to you. You need to do a check at least once, I would say once a week, but some people, you know, once a month, people get busy. And then if you find a deficiency, then you need to address it. And if you do that, then you don't need any lab tests. And you don't need, you're not going to ever have anything big happen because you've made these little adjustments as you go. And this is also the concept in the book Anti-Fragile, which is if you expose yourself to natural stressors in the world, then you're going to be making little adjustments day to day with the feedback that you get, and you don't have any big, huge adjustments. It's like if you're self-employed, you're kind of making adjustments every single day, whereas if you have a job, you're protected from those adjustments. Your boss, who's running the business, is making those adjustments, and all you know is the big adjustment. Either you have a job or you don't. And so you become actually very fragile if you don't make adjustments day to day as you go, day to day or week to week. And so if you're not making adjustments day to day, week to week, then you become more rigid, more stiff, and more vulnerable to breaking, to huge adjustments because you didn't make the little adjustments as you go. In my medical practice, for example, I was taught in medical school that you should open a medical practice, take all the insurances, and just go along with that. You should take insurances. So as when I opened my practice, I already made the minor adjustment that certain insurances I wouldn't be able to take because I didn't pay. And then I made the next adjustment, which was fewer and fewer insurances. Then I made a huge adjustment, which was people who did not pay me, I was not able to see. And there are two reasons for this. The one reason was the government said if you saw someone for free, then that was a hobby and none of your business expenses would be tax deductible. And taking a deduction for those expenses would be, well, fraud. So I said, well, I don't want to commit fraud. So that was one reason. But the other reason was it actually did cost me money to stay open. There's all kinds of fees and property taxes and all kinds of stuff. And so it really did cost me money to take care of people. And so if a person didn't pay me, then I would actually go out of business. But a funny thing happened. The practice became very durable. It's a major, major economic downturn in the 90s. Even the drug reps were laid off and had to go work at Walmart. And but the practice actually thrived. When the downturn came, the practice revenues went up. Why? Because the practice was making small adjustments day to day, week to week. And so when the big, huge event came, which was the economic downturn, there was no negative impact. In fact, there's actually a positive impact. And that's another thing that happens as you make these small adjustments is when huge disasters happen, your body actually becomes stronger as a result of adversity. So, for example, when I fell off the mountain in the Philippines, when I nearly died in India, of course, just being a mere human, I said, oh, my God, it's over. But now my body has recovered. I'm actually in better condition than before I fell off the mountain, than before I was in India. So your body can actually continue to improve over time. There's a lady here in Panama who, when she was in the States, her mother and aunts and the ladies in the neighborhood had a Eusta club. And she says, well, what's a Eusta club? Well, she said, her mother said, a Eusta club is we sit around and talk about what we used to do. And so what I'm suggesting is you don't have to become a member of the Eusta club. You can become a member of actually regaining things you used to do, being able to do things you used to do and do them again. All right, so a lot of jokes going on in the Facebook. So the big deal then, no matter what age you are, even if you're 75, 80, 85, make a list of the things that not only you are doing now that you want to keep doing, make a list of the things that you used to do. Maybe there's something you used to do that you would like to do again. And then that one thing that you used to do that you'd like to do again, sit down and think about it and say, well, now what do I have to do to be able to do that again? And that's what I had to go through to decide, well, what do I have to do to be able to do a split? And it was actually a lot. But actually before that, there was this thing called the bridge or the wheel pose in yoga. It's called the wheel pose in yoga, but it looks like a backward bridge or a back bend. And so I used to be able to do that when I was in my 20s. And so I said, well, I want to do that again. And I had to make a list of what I had to do in order to do that again. And it was a rather long list of three or four things. And then when I started doing those three or four things in preparation, I realized, oops, there's more. So at first, I thought I needed to increase the flexibility in my back. And then I would be able to do a bridge. And so I actually had somebody work with me, and we increased the flexibility in my back. And literally, we got it where it could go in a bridge form. And so she lifted me up into that pose. I couldn't hold it. Okay, why couldn't I hold it? A couple of reasons. One, my quadriceps had shortened from all the years of sitting. And so then I had to stretch out my quadriceps so I could form that part of the bridge. And then I practiced some leg exercises and got my legs strong enough, only to find my arms were not only were they not strong enough, but my flexibility in bending my arms back wasn't enough to get a bridge. And so I had to literally take my arms and start moving them, exercising them, getting my arm where it could go pretty far back. So once I did that, then I had to work on the arm strength, and boom, I was able to do the bridge. So even when you look at the things you used to do and the things that you would like to redo again, you're going to make a list of what you've got to do to accomplish it. But as you get into it, as you have to do, as you do these things in your list, you're actually going to find, ooh, I left something off the list. There's something more I have to do here. But that's okay. Don't be discouraged. Just go ahead and attend to those new things that become apparent as you implement these things on your list. So, for example, let's say you want to pick up your 20-pound grandchild. You might decide you need to lift 20 pounds, only to realize, oops, I can't bend over that far. And so now you realize, oh, you have to practice bending over or develop the ability to bend over without having pain. So that's just an example, but there's so much that you can do. So, you know, you need, so the reason I do these things like the split and post the split pictures or the bridge and post the bridge pictures, it's to really encourage people because you can go back and fix things and start doing the things that you used to do. So, the other thing to consider when you are looking at what you used to do and what you want to do again is that this thing that you can no longer do might be a symptom of something else. And that's the key to understand that, is that it's actually a symptom really just about five things. Malnutrition, which means you're not eating food you need to eat. Toxicity, which means you're ingesting poisons that are harming you. Dehydration, which means that you're not drinking enough water. Improper cleansing, which, to put it bluntly, you're not having enough bowel movements. And so these are usually the things, the underlying problems that need to be addressed. We have a commercial coming up.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so what we're talking about is how to fix these problems when you do your weekly or monthly check. Definitely don't wait more than a month, because then, you have a lot of work to do. But most functional problems that show up in your weekly or monthly check, as I said, can be totally remedied with hydration, bowel movements, adding something to your diet, taking something away from your diet, and occasionally herbs. So those are the places to look. And we have do. Lori says, I've tried natural remedies that claim to get rid of dark circles under the eyes, but I haven't found one that works for me. What are your thoughts? Again, the natural remedies are not addressing the underlying problem, which is there's something you're eating that you have to stop eating. There's something you're not eating you need to start eating. There's additional cleansing you need to do. And hydration or water you need to drink. So those are the fundamentals of, you know, the answer lies in one of those four areas. And so just putting something under the eye may not be enough. I'm going to take my glasses off. You can see my eyes. All right. I don't know if you can see them. So there is a little bit of darkness, but it used to be actually quite a bit worse. It used to go all the way over. So what I did was I stopped eating meat. I started eating meat again, so a little darker. And I also put castor oil in the area to help clean it out. And so what that does is that tells your body to remove toxins from that particular area. Now, depending on what color you are, the other thing to do would be to eat a lot more connective tissue, gelatin, things like pig's ears, or actually chicken feet, I think, are the best. What chicken feet does, chicken feet and ham hocks, is it puts more connective tissue there so that the bluish veins are not visible, and it cleans that part out. So there's two things that make those eyes dark. One, the veins are visible, and two, that there's toxins being deposited in the skin. So you can tell a difference, because if it's the veins, they can take your finger, press, and when the blood leaves the veins, that part will be lighter. And so if pressing there, you know, putting a little pressure there and then lifting up doesn't make it any lighter, then you have a toxicity problem. So applying the castor oil is going to help. Doing enema is going to help. Increasing your water and cleaning up your diet. But again, the idea that you can just take an herb or apply a bleaching cream doesn't address the underlying problem. So you've got to address the underlying problem. And many people are not willing to make like a total lifestyle change to get rid of dark circles under their eyes. And so that's what you have to ask yourself. Are you willing to make a drastic lifestyle change and maybe give up what you thought were desirable foods? We have another commercial coming up. Yes, we do. Next.
I saw you there, just standing there. And I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. Then once again, you said you would come and dance with me. Dance with me across the sea. We can feel the motion.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.